Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Sterling Elliott, clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine, is with us for Ask a Pharmacist Day. How are you today, Dr. Elliott?
I'm doing great. Happy October, right?
Yeah.
I heard you doing promos for cleaning the house for Thanksgiving already.
I know. You know, and holiday stuff is already up in the stores. It's a bit annoying.
Oh, I know. I mean, I was just grumbling over my tax return, and now it's about to come upon us again.
That's how it goes. So we had talked via email about this October 1st deadline for the U.S. to impose a 100% tariff on some branded drugs. What do we know about that now?
Yeah, the last that I saw about on that subject seemed to go much in the way a lot of these things have gone with the administration right now, which is to propose it in the public, to put it out there in the media, and then to move off of it for some period of time. And so as far as we know right now, I believe that whatever next step the administration had hoped to gain by proposing that seemed to have come through to a level where as best we know right now, that application of that tariff is tabled. But, it's like many things that we're seeing in this arena. I think we're going to have to watch and see where it evolves.
Right, because it could mean a dramatic increase in prices, right, on pharmaceuticals that many of Americans take.
Oh, absolutely. I think the vast majority of the analysts that have weighed in on that have suggested that it would be a significant increase in prices. And I think right now it seems to be that the administration seems to be reacting sort of cautiously to that issue, and I think that may, you know, be taken in total with the rest of the budget issues that this country is facing right now.
Okay, here comes the questions for you. Is there an effective OTC over the counter for nerve pain in the feet and pain from peripheral artery disease?
The answer to that question is not really. There's certainly nothing over the counter that will address those things in particular. In general, nerve pain is one of those really complex things. And we've talked a lot about nerve pain in the last few months together. When I come in, it's a really difficult thing to treat. A lot of people have devoted a lot of time and energy and money to doing so, typically without a whole lot of success. In terms of some of the peripheral artery disease, a lot of that is coming from inflammation. And so potentially taking an anti-inflammatory drug like one of the NSAIDs, things like ibuprofen or naproxen, and they go by some of the trade names. Ibuprofen goes by Motrin and Advil, popular over-the-counter trade name for naproxen is Aleve. If you can take those and you don't have other issues that prevent you from doing so, you might get some relief from some of the inflammation that comes about. But it's sort of a difficult one to treat effectively over the counter.
Okay. Mike is on line one. Mike, what's your question for Dr. Sterling Elliott?
Yes, doctor. I read about baxdrostat as a treatment for to help with resistant hypertension and also kidney failure, which I both have.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, would my doctor be able to prescribe that for me? Is it available through the regular doctors, or is it just a study right now?
Well, I had seen some things briefly, Mike, and thanks for giving the call and checking in. I had seen some things briefly. I will be perfectly honest with you, Mike, and tell you that I don't know a great deal about it. If it's been approved by FDA and it's available, then perhaps that's something that you can have a conversation with your doctor about moving forward with it and see if it fits in. I, you know, certainly oftentimes blood pressure that's not well controlled and kidney disease go hand in hand. So the concept is a really good one. If it's still in the study phase, then you know, there's still some time before it would get approved. I can tell the audience, I know that I saw FDA has sort of interrupted the approval process right now with the lack of funding. So those are things to think about, but it's a good question.
Another question for you. Well, it's 3:15, so we better take a break, check weather in traffic with Mary, and then we'll come back with Dr. Sterling Elliott. If you have a question about your pharmaceutical that you're on, 312-981-7200. You can text it right now or give us a buzz. Dr. Sterling Elliott, clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine, is with us. He joins us the first Monday of every month. And of course, the questions are coming in. This one says, I'm taking 900 milligrams of gabapentin three times a day for AA neurogenic issue. Am I at the max dose?
The answer is probably not yet. I've seen doses used higher. A lot of times we'll see doses move higher than that, in excess of 3,000 milligrams in a day for patients that are dealing with some really ugly, persistent nerve pain from diabetes. So, no, the answer is you're not there yet, but you're coming close.
You know what? I've had dogs on gabapentin, too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty widely prescribed drug, right?
Yes. Gabapentin, here's the history of gabapentin. Here's the very brief history of gabapentin. Gabapentin was developed many, many years ago. It's been bought and sold several times, and it was really developed to aid in treating seizure disorders. And it was okay in treating seizure disorders, and it sort of found a place. And probably for your dogs, Lisa, that's where they were going with it. But what it really seemed to do was to really help people that were dealing with that diabetic nerve pain. And so that's really where it sort of evolved to over time.
All right, let's go to line two. Ron, you have a multivitamin question for Dr. Elliott?
Yeah, I've been taking a multivitamin for many years. I read something in a paper recently that sometimes they put too much of certain vitamins in these pills, and particularly I read about B6 that could cause some harm. Should I be cautious about taking a multivitamin with this kind of stuff?
You know, the current recommendation throughout the primary care field is that for patients that are getting up there in age, multivitamins are a good idea. And I certainly, Ron, I really wouldn't recommend that you do anything differently. You know, I'm not familiar with what you had read. I will tell you this, the general rule of thumb is that we often tell people to be really careful about some of those fat soluble vitamins, and those you can remember by a quick acronym, ADEK, A-D-E and K. Those are your fat soluble vitamins, and those will store in your body fat. So we want to be careful with that. A lot of the water soluble vitamins, of which B6 is one of them, will tend to move through your body. What you don't need, your body will move out as you go to the restroom. And so even in situations where, you know, the kidneys aren't functioning the way they used to, as long as you're making, you know, urine and you're able to go to the bathroom throughout the day, that's not something that I've seen extensively.
All right. Somebody's saying, can you cut a tablet in half if it's not scored? I take leflunomide, 10 milligrams, but I have to take, it says 120 milligrams. I'm not sure if that's appropriate. Sometimes people talk to text, but if it makes sense to you, tell me what the answer is.
The answer is sometimes you can cut a tablet if it's not scored. Typically, tablets that are scored are meant to be cut because they're commonly used to provide partial doses. But what's really important is that you have to make sure that the medication isn't made so that there's something in the tablet that allows for drug to release over time. And generally, you will see something very specific, oftentimes on your label, on your prescription bottle. So even if you're using a pill organizer, I always encourage people, keep the original pill bottles around because there may be some really important information on there. That's the best answer I give sitting here in a radio studio.
Mm, okay. All right, let's go to David on line three. Polymyalgia question, is that, did I get that right?
Correct. How are you guys?
Hey, David,
good. How are you?
David?
So I'm a type 2 diabetic. You guys were talking about gabapentin earlier. Mm-hmm. I've been taking it for a few years. I'm only on 1,200 milligrams capsules of that. That hasn't been really an issue. That sort of has subsided. Boom. But recently I was diagnosed with polymyalgia.
Yeah.
Through a rheumatologist. Well, through my internist. And then I met with a rheumatologist, and he said, yeah, all your sediment and everything is all good. But now I'm in the downward weaning process. I start off at 20 milligrams of prednisone. Now I'm down to 15.
Yep.
I never even heard of polymyalgia until this summer, and it is super painful. What can you tell me about it? Is it curable? Well, I mean, a lot of people say it goes away after a year, after several months or weeks of weaning from, like, 50 milligrams down to like 2.5, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm really worried about it because it's such a horrible, horrible pain.
No, I listen, David, I understand. I'm sorry to hear that you're sort of dealing with this on top of everything else. Polymyalgia is, and the fact that you've kind of had it confirmed and managed from rheumatology is where it should be, tends to be one of those conditions that comes up as a consequence of the way your immune system isn't necessarily functioning correctly, and it's sort of mounting an attack against your own body. You know, it by the way, it's sort of a progressive disease. I don't know much about whether or not it's ultimately curable. I do know that the disease is sort of characterized, and whenever we read about it, it sort of tells us to be thinking about the fact that it can flare up and then it can subside on you. And so right. Certainly as you're moving the dose of the steroids, and the steroids tend to be a hallmark feature of treating it because one of the hallmark issues that you're dealing with is inflammation. So you may very well see it. It might be one of those things, unfortunately, that you may be managing, you know, flare ups and things like that over some time. I wish I had better news for you.
No, I I've been reading a lot, you know, the whole prednisone thing, there's a lot of side effects. One doctor said, you know, you're using a bazooka to kill an ant, basically, with prednisone. Does prednisone also overtake, like, the joint pain? Since I've been on the prednisone, I haven't had a lot of the need for gabapentin. So
sure. Well,
I don't know if one, you know, one cures the other.
Here's the thing. Prednisone is one of what we call the corticosteroids, the steroid family. And it is the single greatest anti-inflammatory medication we have out there. And so something that's characterized by inflammation like what you're going through right now, certainly that's going to be the case. And joint pain very often is characterized by inflammation at the same time. So it doesn't shock me at all to hear that the prednisone is giving you some relief in that regard too. And probably even there's inflammation going on that's fueling some of the diabetic neuropathy. And so for all those reasons, you're sort of getting a lot of bang right there for that buck. But I think the description of a bazooka to kill an ant isn't necessarily a bad one. And that's why we're so cautious with when we use them and for how long we use them.
Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we're up against news time, but you always leave and there's a million more questions to be answered. So the first Monday of November.
We will do it pre-Thanksgiving, folks.
Absolutely. That's Dr. Sterling Elliott from Northwestern.